Well, happy Father's Day, everybody. And I want to say a special welcome at all of our campuses and online to all the dads and all the dudes who are here today. Today is your day. The day that we celebrate you. You're one. You're only. But it's all about you today. Hey, you know, I love Father's Day because being a dad, it always brings me back to thinking about the very beginning when I first became a dad. And you know that feeling when you just have no idea what you're doing? Yeah, like that's what comes back at that same thought too. And I've got a picture I can show you guys of. This is when I first held my firstborn daughter for the first time ever. This is Ella Jordan Hibiski, born in January 2012, who is about to enter kindergarten. So I'm a little bit freaking out inside. But in this picture, you know, like this guy doesn't have a clue what's coming. Like, I had no idea what I was getting into, you know? I don't even know if I'm holding her right. Then, you know, the other thing on this is, I don't know if I'm holding her right, but then my next question is, how do I change a diaper, all right? So, like, that's where I was at. Nursing and all this stuff at home, like, no clue. I mean, you don't know what's coming. You don't know how to handle coming home, and you've got a wife and a baby that are both crying, and you don't know which one to go to first. I mean, like nobody preps you for this stuff, you know? So I remember going through all these thoughts, and maybe some of you can relate to this. But, man, the learning curve is steep. I mean, you learn a lot fast because before long, I could do poop tricks. Now, for those of you who aren't parents, you don't know what a poop trick is, do you? Well, you learn quickly because you know what happened is we came home with Ella, and the first few days she did not poop, and we didn't think it was a big deal. We just thought, what's the deal? We're not changing diapers. And you know what happened? The pediatrician kept saying, no, this is a big deal. You need to feed her every 2 hours. And this is what poop tricks are. See this picture right here? Poop tricks are the way that you position a baby's legs, apply gentle pressure on the abdomen, hold them in different ways, and then get ready. You don't do that with the diaper off. I'll tell you one thing. Learn that from experience. So you got to make sure you're ready. And like, you'll never celebrate poop. I remember that first time she finally pooped. We were at home. We did a little poop dance right there in the living room. We were like celebrating, like, good times. Come on, you know? And like you will celebrate this because parenting is crazy. It really is. I mean, so many times as a parent, you don't know what's coming. You don't know how to handle it. You don't know how to face these things. And that's the way that life is. That's the way parenting, that's the way that life is. I mean, there's things that come your way where you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to handle this stuff. I mean, some of you at all of our campuses, you just graduated high school or college and the world is waiting for you and you have no idea what to do. Some of you, you know, you're about to get married and you're thinking, I have no idea what to expect when this life change happens. For others, I mean, I would be willing to bet, and with the size and the amount of people that we have at all of our campuses and online who are joining with this message today, that there are some life crisis points that are happening. You know, there are some finances that have gone down. There's a lost job. There's a health issue. There's a marriage issue. There's something that's happening. And every time these things happen in our life, when there's a life change or phase that we go into or a crisis that hits, we're kind of left feeling lost. We're kind of left feeling uncertain, even anxious about it. But here's the thing, is that there is one defining feature about our lives that bridges through every life circumstance, through every stage, and through every season. In fact, I would say that this feature in our lives, that this is like the glue. It's like the platform on which we stand. Or it is like the foundation for our legacy. And what I'm talking about is our character. It's our character. It's your integrity, your ethics, your morality. It's who you are when nobody else is around and who you are when other people are around. You know, maybe if you're a follower of Jesus, where it might come into play too is your obedience and your trust in God, your faith in God and doing what he says. I mean, like, these all come in and these package our character. And our character is so important because our character has the power to influence and the power to destroy. I don't know if any of you have maybe been watching or going through the news, and you've seen some of the news about Uber. Maybe some of you have seen this. I mean, Uber is going through a lot of turmoil. They're falling apart. CEO just took a leave of absence. And it's not because of business decisions or a business model. It's because of character decisions. And their character is what is now shipwrecking a company. Their actions that they took. So today, with it being Father's Day, I want to speak to the men. Now, ladies, this is going to totally apply to you. So, like, don't think like it's not going to apply to you and just check out. But with it being Father's Day, I want to speak to the men, because I think that our character as a dad is so crucial. It's vital in our homes and with our kids. Now, let me say this to all of you single moms at all of our campuses who are here with us today. You are amazing. All right? You are amazing with what you do as a single mom and the way that you take care of your kids and you fill these roles. And I just want to say this to all you single moms. Girl, after this, you go get you some sausage, a donut, coffee, root beer, whatever you want, because you deserve it, okay? You deserve it. But when I think about the role of dads in the home, I can't help but think about how critical this role is. I mean, I think about the development of a kid, the role that a dad plays. I mean, there is no other person like a dad in the role and development of a kid. Dads, you are the ones who will teach your sons by your life what a man should be and how a man should live. You are the one who will model for your daughter what kind of a husband to marry and to look for by the way that you love, treat, respect, and serve your wife and your family. I mean, the role is absolutely critical. And that's why for dads and for men who I want to speak to right now and say this, is that your character must become one of your most important endeavors, because your character is the platform on which you stand. Your character is the platform on which you stand. And when it comes to our character in life, each of us, men, women, everybody, has to make decisions regarding our character and how we are going to live. I think about this a lot. It's like the draw the line in the sand moments. You know, you've seen this illustration. Somebody does, like, they draw the line across the sand and they go, okay, which side are you on? Which side are you going to choose? Where's your commitment? And when it comes to our character, and let me say this too, is like, I know when I look at all of our campuses and stuff like this, some of you may be new to church, and I know like this is all still new. But when it comes to our character, it doesn't matter if we're following Jesus or not. Like, we all have character that we carry into every relationship, and we all have to make decisions in how we will act and how we will live. So when we draw the line in the sand, we're asking the question, what are going to be my non-negotiables when it comes to my character, where I'm going to step across and I'm going to commit to live in this way? Because character matters. It is the platform on which you stand. And so today, I want to talk about three decisions that every man must make about their character when they draw the line in the sand. And the first one, I think, is probably the most important. It's the most important mindset. It's the most important decision that we will make in regards to our character. And it is the decision that oftentimes can be the biggest barrier, and we don't even see it. But it's the decision to say no excuses when it comes to my character. No excuses. That I don't make excuses for the way that I act and the way that I behave. Now, there is a natural human phenomenon that maybe you've seen, because it's been around ever since the beginning of the human story of existence. In fact, you've experienced it, because I know this, because we've all played it before. It's a game. It's a game that we all play, and it's a game called the blame game. Anybody knows how this goes? You know, you're at work sometime, and you go to your coworker, and you're like, hey, why'd you miss the meeting? You're like, I didn't get the email. You're like, you replied to the email. Oh, well, the font must have been too small. You know you can zoom in. Oh, my computer's too old to zoom in. I can't do that. I mean, seriously, like, there's an excuse for everything. There's something to blame everywhere, and you can't pin them down. But this blame game, passing the blame and having the excuse, man, it goes all the way back to the beginning of the human story. In Genesis, the first book in the Bible, in the first three chapters, there's the account of the creation of the world and the universe, and you got God takes Adam and Eve, and he puts them there in the garden, right there together, and they're like, he puts them over everything. I mean, they can rule over everything. They're in charge. I mean, they basically do whatever you want. But God said, there's one thing, just one thing that I'm asking you not to do, and that's to eat the fruit from this one tree. It was a tree called the knowledge of the good and evil. So, like, don't eat that one tree. So basically, what God did right there in that moment is he gave Adam and Eve the opportunity to choose him or to reject him based on that decision.
Because they could choose to reject God and say we're going to eat it, or they could choose to choose him and not eat it. There was that one thing, because God doesn't want robots. He wants people with relationship. All right? So here's Adam and Eve. They're in the garden. And next thing you see in this account is Satan comes in the form of a snake. So for all of you who hate snakes, you're justified in your hate of a snake. And you can go with me and we'll eradicate the planet of snakes because I hate snakes too. All right? So if you have a pet snake, we'll talk about it later. All right? So, but here's the thing is that Satan comes in the form of a snake, comes to Eve, begins to tempt her to eat this fruit. Adam is standing right there watching this whole thing happen. Eve takes the fruit. She eats the fruit. She hands it to Adam. And Adam, you know, not wanting to rock the boat, because if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. You know, like he says, sure, he eats the fruit, does it, you know, boom. Right there in that instance, God's one thing that he had asked him not to do is broken. That's where sin enters the world. Disobedience, sin, evil, death all come into the world because of this one decision and this one point in time. So later in the account, God is in the garden and he's looking for Adam and Eve. And when he finds them, he asks Adam, he says, Adam, what happened, bro? He didn't really say bro, but he did say what happened. But Adam, see how Adam responds. He says, the woman that you put me here with, she gave me the fruit and I ate it. So notice this, he immediately goes, it's her fault and it's your fault, God. Ain't my fault, man. I just ate it. I'm just trying to be happy at home, you know, keep the peace, like things like this. It's your fault. Y'all need to work this thing out. And then God goes to Eve and he says, Eve, what happened? She goes, the snake. You know, so what happens is right here in the very beginning, there is passing the blame. There's a lack of ownership. Like, I screwed up. I messed up. It's on me. There's an excuse. And can I be honest? Like, one of my concerns in my life, for me personally, and for others that I see, is how often we can fall into the trap where we will excuse our behavior. We will excuse our actions. We will excuse our words. We'll excuse our sin. I mean, maybe, men, maybe you can relate to some of these, you know, because we've all said these. I've heard these. You know, it's some of the stereotypes here. It's like, one, when I come home from work, man, I've been working all day. I'm tired. I just want to sit down on the couch. And we use, I'm tired. I'm the one that's been working. I've been working all day as an excuse to disengage from the family, to disengage from the kids, to not serve with your wife and clean or cook or do whatever you need to take care of the family. Like we can use that as an excuse. Maybe you've had the excuse of you're with your guys, and you know, man, you're just talking trash, like stupid stuff, things that you pray your kids never say. And you're there and you're just like, well, it's just guys. It's just guys talking. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. It's just guys talking. You know, sometimes maybe when you're watching a movie, a sex scene comes on the movie, and you just think, that's not a big deal. It's just a sex scene. I mean, my wife doesn't matter. It doesn't hurt anything. I mean, I'm not actually with somebody. And we can easily begin to excuse, to try and lessen our actions and our behavior by making different excuses. Now, listen, you know, for you who are here, the single girls, let me talk to you for a minute. So single girls at all of our campuses. I am a dad of two daughters. I have a 5-year-old, I have a 3-year-old, and I pray for them that one day that when they get out here and some dude is trying to get their number and talk with them, that they choose wisely and they don't ever settle. And one of the biggest pains, one of the biggest pains and things that breaks my heart is when I look out and I see girls settle. And if you are trying to excuse the guy that you're with the wrong guy. And you need to recognize your worth, that you are worthy of some man loving you unconditionally the way that Jesus loves you. That is who you are. That is what you're worthy. And listen, single girls, you ain't got no time for no scrub. Because a scrub is a guy who can't get no love from you. He's hanging out the passenger side of his best friend's ride trying to holler at you. So listen, if you don't know what just happened, you missed the whole era, okay? Now, let me say this to all you single guys out there, all right? Single guys, here's the thing I oftentimes hear. Well, I will change when I get married. I will change when I become a dad. I will change when. No, we don't change then unless we change now. See, listen, single guys, the life you're living right now, the decisions you're making in your character is who you'll be as a husband and who you'll be as a dad. It is the decisions you make today and every day that follow will be the ones that shape you and shape your character. Each and every day. And your character matters. It's the platform on which you stand. It is the foundation for your legacy. It is the influence that you have on your family and on those around you. Your character matters. And listen, none of us are going to be perfect. Like, I know I use some of these examples, and, you know, maybe they hit home with you, but there's others that we could go on down a list, right? I mean, I have mine too. We all mess up. None of us are perfect. And even recently, like, I was talking to myself, and I was telling myself no excuses. I don't know if you ever do this. Like, I do this in the car a lot. You know, I'm driving down 87. It's probably, like, because I'm in traffic, and I'm already frustrated, and I'm thinking about everything else I'm frustrated about in my life. And I'm like, dude, shut up. No excuses. Get with it. Come on. Like, you know, you got to pep yourself up a little bit, you know? It's like the football rally. And, you know, I got to tell myself no excuses. And recently I've been going through a season where I had just been stressed and been busy. I had some staff transitions on some of my teams. So I'm doing multiple different roles and different things like this. And I'm just like, I feel like I can't win at work. I can't win at home. I can't win anywhere. And then you know what I recognized is that in my eating, like, I was really finding comfort in some food. I mean, I don't know if y'all ever do this, but man, Ghirardelli chocolate at like 10 o'clock is a grand slam, baby. Who needs 7 games, man? Ghirardelli knocks it out in 4, you know what I'm saying? Like, seriously, like, you know, I remember like getting in and I would find myself eating too much or eating these things like that. And then, the excuse was, I'm tired, I don't want to think about it, I ain't got space for it, I don't want to think about my diet. Like, that just sounds a lot better than a salad, I'll just be honest, you know? And I find myself in this point and I finally said, no excuses, man. You're the one who owns your destiny here. No excuses. Get with it. So I made no excuses and began to make those changes. This too, maybe some of you guys can relate with this. I don't know how everybody handles stress. I don't know how you handle problems when you get into them. But for me, when I get under stress and when there's like problems in front of me, I mean, there's like this inner Hulk that wants to come out. Seriously, it's like the part inside that just everything inside of me just is wanting to scream. Like, it's just wanting to charge the hill. And, like, if there's a wall in front of me, one of us is going to fall down. Like, I don't know which one, but one of us is going to fall down. And I will attack problems like that. But here's the thing, is that the strength is in that, is that I'll just run at the problem and attack it and push and go, and I won't stop, and I'll keep moving. The bad side of that is that I can hurt people in the path. And even somebody who I respect and is on one of my teams told me, they said, sometimes you can steamroll. And here's the thing. There are no excuses to steamroll somebody for me. None. That is not the way that Jesus has called me to love, to lead, to treat people, anything like that. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to act that way. And will I do it perfectly? No. I'll probably mess up and have a whole lot of cleared up conversations along the way, but there's no excuses, and I will continue to fight to get better. And here's the thing, is I know that some of these may seem like small, trivial matters, but here's the real bottom line when it comes to our character, is that it is the seemingly insignificant matters that the battle for character is won. Do you get that? It isn't the seemingly insignificant, the small little everyday decisions, the small little things each and every day where the battle for character is won. And we, men, we don't excuse our character. We own our character. All right? Nobody can make an excuse for you. You don't excuse it. You own it. We make no excuses for our character. Now, we got to draw a line in the sand when it comes to our character. We got to step in and say no excuses. But the second one is that you've got to choose your circle. You've got to choose your circle. You know, each of us, maybe you haven't realized this, is each of us have a circle. It's a circle that goes around us. It's a circle that influences us. It's a circle that may make you do, say, or think things that you may not otherwise do, say, or think. It's a circle that will influence you towards good, you know, we're husbands. Maybe this circle helps influence you to prioritize your wife, speak highly of her, love your kids, know God more, be a better person, Like, take care of yourself and your soul. Like, prioritize work, kids over work. I mean, like, this circle can do that, or this circle can influence you towards a negative one where you will experience harm from them because you'll make decisions that will hurt you. You'll make decisions that will hurt those around you that you love. You'll make decisions that will be poor decisions that will lead to the lesser choice and will pull you away from God. And this circle around us, this circle is made up of people. It's the friends, it's the family, it's the people who are closest to us. Now, not everybody that's on your Facebook profile, but everybody who is the closest. The ones who, when they speak, you listen. When they get together and do something, you do it. And listen to a guy named Solomon. Solomon is the king, one of the kings of Israel. He's known for wisdom and knowing for just absolutely having wisdom that helps us even today. And he wrote a book of Proverbs 3,000 years ago. And we're still seeing it today and see the impact of it in our life. And listen to what Solomon says in Proverbs 13:20. He says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. You know what this says right here? This says that the people around you will determine the direction of your life. That the people that you have around you will determine the direction of your life. So let me say this to each of us. Who is in your circle? Who are the ones around you that are influencing you? That are influencing your behavior, your words, your actions, and how is it that they are influencing you? Because if you walk with the wise, you will become what?
Wise.
But if you're around people who know the difference between right and wrong and always choose wrong or influence you towards this path, then you will suffer harm. This is why Solomon, again, in Proverbs 12:26, he says, "The righteous," in other words, those who live an honorable, right-standing life and can stand right before God, like the righteous person choose their friends carefully. But the way of the wicked leads them astray. Solomon gives the weight to say, man, choose your circle. Choose the people who are around you, knowing that they will help determine the direction of your life. And I'm sure you can look at your life and see a bunch of different times like this where people influence you. I mean, I can look back in my life and I can see these, and it starts back in elementary school. You know, upper elementary school back in the early 90s, all right? This is on the bus. I don't know if any of you guys rode the bus, but here we are on this yellow school bus. Remember those brown bench seats, you know? There's like this smell from those seats that I will never forget on a hot North Carolina day. And I remember this, you know, like getting on the bus, and this is too when like early 90s, you know, like hot colors were in. Remember like hot pink, hot green, hot blue, hot yellow, hot everything? You look like a walking highlighter pack whenever you got dressed and you get on the bus. And so I'm on the bus and I'm sitting there. And I remember, I can distinctly remember this. I got my arms on here and, you know, you rode against your back against the window so you could like really look cool like this. And I remember the baseball fields are right here. We just pulled out of the school. I mean, we're literally right there. And I'm just cussing like crazy. I'm dropping F-bombs and all this different stuff. I mean, I like going for it, you know, like sitting right there. And I'm doing it because I think, it's going to make me look cool in front of these people. These are my friends on the back of the bus. We're the cool ones in the back of the bus. And I'm doing it because of them. Now, in middle school, I went to a Christian school, middle school and high school, and we had to take Bible classes. So Bible class, we had an eighth grade Bible class that we were in, and we had to do these things called Bible verse quizzes. Now, a Bible verse quiz is pretty simple. You take one verse in the Bible, and you got to write it on a blank sheet of paper from memory. So, you know, it's basically like, memorize a sentence, kid. You can do it. And I had this group of friends that we were in the class together, and we learned and we taught and we helped each other get better at cheating on our Bible verse quizzes. So literally, we cheated on the Bible. I mean, like, how do you come back from that? Seriously. So we would cheat on these Bible verse quizzes because we were doing it together. Now, I'm not going to tell you how I did it. It was pretty good. But anyways, that's beside the point. But it was later as well in life that it was another group of friends that introduced me to pornography. And it was a group of friends that introduced me to pornography, and then as a result, it formed an addiction in my life. But later, years later, after that, it was another group of friends who stood by me, who prayed for me, who walked with me, who encouraged me, who were there and helped me kick that addiction out of my life where I haven't gone back to it since. And you see the power of the people that we have around you and the way they influence our behavior. And that's why Solomon says, listen, you got to choose your friends carefully. You choose your circle. You draw the line in the sand and ask, who am I going to allow to influence me? Which side will I be on? Because my character matters and my character is influenced by those around me. Now listen, this is not saying you got to write off every single person that you've ever known if they don't believe Jesus or anything like that and whatever. Like, that is not what this means. Jesus hung out with the people that nobody who went to church would hang out with. You know why? Because he loved them. He had grace for them. He wanted to see the best come out of them. And Jesus would be with them. But listen, the thing is that we want to be with people to be influenced. But the minute that we begin to be influenced to make poor decisions, then we are letting a circle form that we shouldn't have there. Now, you may be in a point where you're like, I don't know where to go. I don't know how to find somebody. You know, where do I find a person who can help me know how to have character, what to live, like what, how to know God, how to be a dad or a husband, anything like this. And this is one of the powerful things in why we have life groups. Because again, listen, men, there's no excuses when it comes to our character. We don't make excuses like I don't know somebody. We go, okay, it's a true problem that I don't know somebody. I mean, it really is. It's a legit felt true problem. So now where do I go? And I go to a life group. I find somebody. I find somebody who is living their life in a future that I hope to see for my life, whether it's dad, parenting, following Jesus, work, whatever. And I go, can I buy you lunch? Can I just ask you questions? Can I sit down and just learn from you? And then you just shut up and you just ask a question and learn. Don't talk about yourself. Just sit down and just learn. But we go after it. We chase down people. And more often than not, you will find somebody is willing to take time out of their day to invest in your life. And listen, I know for some of you here at our campuses, like, church may not be new. You may not even know what you believe about Jesus. And that's awesome. Like, I love it when somebody comes to me at the Connection Center and they're like, I don't even know if I believe this, but I had a great experience. I love being here. Can I ask questions? I'm like, yes, absolutely. This is the place for you. But even the question I would pose to you is, when you think about your circle, it may not be a circle here in the church, but is your circle influencing you to make poor or wise choices in your life? Because we all have a circle around us and our character impacts all of us. And so we have to make decisions to say no excuses and to say, I'm going to choose my circle. Now, the third decision that I would encourage us to make is to draw a line in the sand and make the decision to protect your heart. Protect your heart. Now, I know on Father's Day, this one doesn't quite have the dude punch to it. Kind of sounds like, protect your heart. And I'm not talking about getting bacon out of your diet. So, like, this is not about keeping your veins clean, although I do support heart health. Let me say this. So the CrossFitters don't come after me. So just kidding. You know, but this one, protect your heart. I go back to what Solomon said again. Remember the wise guy, the one who drops wisdom bombs in our life? Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So what that means the joy, the laughter, the peace, the hope, the servant attitude where I serve my family and people around me, the generosity, the good things, like all this comes out of my heart. But it also means that the lust, the greed, the anger, the power trip of control, if you will, like all these things come out of our heart as well. And what Solomon is saying when he says guard your heart is we got to think what I'm putting in my life and in my heart directly impacts what comes out. So the things I put in, they impact my character. The things I put in impact what I say. The things I put in impact how I love my wife and my kids. The things I put in, these impact every aspect of my life, for everything flows from it. And so we as men have to be intentional, and what are we doing to protect our heart so that our character stays intact? And the thing I think about with this is I think about boundaries. It's what I call them. I call them boundaries for my life. A boundary is anything I put in place in my life to help me from getting to a place I never intended to go. Because what happens is if we don't have boundaries, you know, where our life is moving in this direction, and all of a sudden we start the slow drift, and a lot of times it's slow. And then the next thing you know is we get ourselves in a place that we never wanted to be, we never intended to go. And the boundaries, what they do is when I'm going forward and I grind on when I hit a boundary, like it keeps me in line in the way that I want to go. See, I'm protecting my heart when I put boundaries in place. Now, boundaries are 100% personal. They differ from every single person because we all have different things that we may have to make decisions around. But for me, personally, my boundary is one that I start here with what is God said in the Bible and how he wants me to live. What's best for me? What is the things, the ways that God created me? So I look to the Bible to help form my boundaries, and then I look at other things in my life. You know, for me, I have some around there because, man, pornography is a part of my life, so I'm going to have some different boundaries than maybe some other dude. But maybe for a guy who struggled with alcoholism in his family, the boundaries might look different. And so I just want to share with you some of my personal boundaries. Now, these are not in the Bible. These are just things I've put in place to say, okay, I want to try and help keep my character intact and keep myself where I'm going. So maybe these help you, but they're just examples of boundaries. Now, when it comes for me to beer and wine, I've got a one and done boundary. One and done, man. I'm a lightweight, don't want to get messed up, you know, don't want to be in a place I never intended to go. So one and done. Now, for you, it might be two and through, I don't know, like three and free, four no more, five and alive, baby. I don't know where you're at, you know. Like, you got to decide where your boundary is. But here's the thing that I know, is that I know I never want to lose control. I never want to move even close. So if this is the line, I kind of want to back up and be like right here. See, because I don't want to get to a place I never intended to go, so I put a boundary there. Another boundary that I have, and these are some ones to help protect my marriage, right? And because of some of my past. I don't watch movies that have sex in them, sex and nudity. Don't do them. Try not to, the best that we can. And one of the things that you can help with the try is there's a website called imdb.com. There's an app you can download called IMDb. You can download it. You know what they've got? They've got a parent review. And it is awesome. And my wife and I, when we're picking a movie, we'll be like, hey, look it up real quick. We'll go on and check it out. If I'm at home and I'm going to watch like a dude movie, I'm going to be like, all right, let me just check it real quick. Because I just don't want to put myself in a spot where I start to drift down the path that I never wanted to go. Some of the other boundaries to protect my marriage, like one of them is I won't meet with someone of the opposite sex off-site or travel with somebody alone who's of the opposite sex. And the reason is because I don't want to leave any gap to develop an inappropriate relationship that all of a sudden, again, remember, that causes me to drift. So I put a boundary there. One of the other ones is bringing up temptations. Things that are there that bring up temptation, to bring them up. Recently, I don't know if many of you guys are on Instagram, if you ever get spam, but I get this Instagram spam from time to time, and I got like some of the worst I had been getting. And it was like this wave where it was just like boom, boom, like two, three a day just hitting like this. And it wasn't the spam where the girl's still in like the bikini or something like this. It was like the full-on nudity spam. It was bad, man. And I, on a Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, we have all staff prayer, and anybody can come join us right here at North San Jose campus. We come pray together. And I just went to some of the guys and said, hey, guys, this is what's happening. Can you guys pray for me? And I gave my phone later to my wife at one point, and I said, hey, babe, can you go on and just block some of these and report them to Instagram? And she was like, absolutely. Anytime you need me to do this, I would be glad to get that junk out of here, you know? So I put these things in my life, again, to have boundaries. And there's some questions, man. I remember when I was in seminary. I know that sometimes this sounds extreme, and these are not rules. These are not in the Bible. These are not things where it's like you have to do this. You have to do my boundaries. That's not it at all. You choose the way that you want to go in your character, okay? But I remember these questions a seminary professor gave us, and this is a group who's about to go out and do ministry. And he said, "Questions the process before you have a character failure in your life." And there was this one question on this sheet that has been forever burned in my mind and in my brain, and I think about it all the time, and it was the question of picturing your kids going to your wife and asking, why isn't daddy a pastor anymore? And the answer being because he didn't uphold his character. And I picture my wife trying to navigate the awkwardness of that question. The hurt, the pain, the disappointment that would be in her voice. As she tries to answer to a kid why their dad's not a pastor anymore. Now for you, where you're at in your life, you may not be a pastor, right? So how does it apply to you? Well, imagine your kids asking their mom this question. Why doesn't daddy sleep here anymore? Let it get real. Picture her disappointment. Picture the awkwardness of handling that question from your kid, wondering why you're not here anymore. See, it may sound extreme, but sometimes we have to be extreme because our character matters that much. And it will be the boundaries that you put in place today that shape the story you tell tomorrow. The boundaries you put in place today shape the story you tell tomorrow. So men, let me ask you, what story do you want to tell and be told about you in 20 years? What story do you want your kids and your grandkids to talk about? Because the boundaries you put in place today shape the story you tell tomorrow. And this is why we've got to protect our heart. That's why we draw the line in the sand. And we say character matters because it's the platform on which I stand. And when I step across here, like, I will not make excuses for my character. I will choose the circle around me. I will protect my heart. And you can imagine the difference this makes in our life. When we live in a way that models character. Like, you can imagine the difference it can have in your marriage, in your work, in your relationships, in your dating life. Our character matters. And listen, I know that we've all messed up. I mean, that's why we're here, honestly. Each and every one of us are broken. We got different types of brokenness. We're all jacked up, to be honest. We all have our things. We all have our issues. And sometimes when we get to this point and we talk about character, maybe some of you feel like, I'm too far gone. My past is too far out. There's things that are too big back there. But here's the thing, is that we all have a past. We all have past struggles. We all have current struggles. We all have things that we deal with. And this is why we're here, because God's grace is sufficient for you. It's sufficient for your weakness. It's sufficient for your past. God's grace is sufficient for it. And listen, God does not want you to live your life excusing your way through it. And God's plan for us is for him to send Jesus. For us to be able to put our faith in Jesus to say, you know what, through Jesus, I can find forgiveness, I can find grace, I can find hope. That Jesus would step out of heaven and go to a cross where he would die on a cross for our sin so that we could be forgiven. That when we put our faith in him, we could experience God's grace. And you know what, we could be set out no longer defined by our past, but now this is my new identity, man. It's a whole new level. And here's the thing, is that not all of us, we're never going to do it perfect. We're going to mess up. Nobody's going to live perfect. Not me, not you, nobody. But listen to what Paul says. Paul, he's the Apostle Paul in the early church in the New Testament. He wrote most of the New Testament portion of the Bible. And he says these verses in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. He says, listen, I forget the past because I'm focused on the future where I'm moving to. God is covering these things. He can take these things. He can handle these things. And I'm going to move forward. So what happens is you fall down, you get back up, you mess up, you ask for forgiveness. You screw up, you go talk to somebody and you tell them, I shouldn't have done that. Will you forgive me for it? I'm going to work on it. Like, we don't make excuses. We choose our circle. We protect our heart. And listen, for each of us, so men, women, singles, grandparents, everybody right now at all of our campuses right here, each of us have a decision to make in regards to our character and how we will live. And the decisions that we make around our character will not only impact today, but every day that follows. And so in just a moment, as the bands are going to sing at all of our campuses, I want to invite you. I want to invite you just to make a commitment to God. So men, women, everybody, make a commitment to God. This is totally for you. And it may be different for each of us. We're all in different places. So maybe it's a decision to say, man, I'm going all in on my faith in Jesus. Maybe it's I need to work on my marriage. Maybe it's I need to work on this aspect of my life and my character. But to make a commitment to God, to make a commitment in our character. And as the bands are leading us, there are some tables in our auditorium. And on those tables, you'll see a little piece like this. It's a little piece of sandpaper. And there's a marker that's right there. And I want to encourage you to come up during this song. Draw a line on it. Let it be representation of your commitment to God, representation to that aspect of your life or your character. And let it be something that you remind you of who you're living for and what you are doing in your life. Now listen, dads, I want to encourage you to do this too, to grab one of these, draw a line on it, take it home, put it on the fridge. I mean, put it somewhere where you can see it so one day when your kid says, Dad, why is that there? You can say, hey, come here, sit down with me for a second. Let me tell you about who I used to be. Let me tell you what Jesus has done in my life. And that right there signifies that I'm all in. But as for me and our house, we're living for God. You know, singles, you may even take this. You may do this and put it somewhere. And you say, this is the sign of my commitment of why I'm not going to settle when I date. For all of us, we can do this. I'm not going to settle in my marriage. I'm going all in. I'm choosing this. My character is the platform on which I stand. And today is the day that we draw the line in the sand and we decide what we will do in regards to our character. Would you all go ahead and stand at all of our campuses? And I just want to pray over you and over the dads today as we wrap up our time together. God, as we think about character, I mean, it can get weighty sometimes. It can feel heavy because each of us know that there are areas in our life where we got room to grow. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to really come into it, to draw that line in the sand, to make the commitment today to say, I am going to choose something better. I will fight for my character. God, I pray for all the dads who are here. God, I pray your blessing over them, that you will help them to fight for character, to choose something better in their lives, to choose the character and the ways that they will act. And I pray that even as we sing this next song, as we draw lines on this paper representing the commitment that we make before you, God, that you would move us, that you would call us to higher levels of faith. And we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.